that lives forevermore. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. There's some of us here that come to church on Sunday mornings. And shake your head with me in a little bit if this bears witness with you. When pastor begins to, and I think deep now, don't think, that's not the word I'm looking for. After worship, pastor begins to quote the word over families, over situations, over finances, about 5 minutes. Doesn't it seem powerful when he begins to do that? This begins to just, Father, I pray for the families, I pray again. You can just feel something just, it's something stirred in you. That's because when God's word is quoted, not just told it, but quoted, there's power in it. You can just feel virtue come out of him as he begins to speak God's word. And I need to do that a lot more. I'm getting better at it, but I got a ways to go with that. I don't do it enough. I think the corporate body of Christ struggles tremendously confessing God's word. I think that's a big time weakness in the body of Christ. I met a guy about a month ago. It's a real, real sincere conversation. And he was telling me what he had been going through. You know, he had a child that was trying all that he could to walk away from Jesus. He didn't like to talk about it much, but his health was kind of bad. And I looked at him in his eye. I said, and he began to cry a little bit. He began to weep a little bit. And he was real sincere. He was real sincere. And I said, you know, I didn't know what to say at the time. Really, I didn't know what to tell him. I was just hearing him. Sometimes we just got to be quiet when people are talking to you. We just want to overwhelm the conversation with our opinion. Really, our opinions mean nothing. That's why sometimes when I'm going through something, people call me. Look, if you don't call me to edify me with the word, I don't really need opinions. I tell pastors, I say, I don't need a Job comforter, really. If you can't come to me with the word, with what the word says, along with my opinion, yours don't mean much to me either. And that sounds mean, but it's not. It's just, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to repeat what I'm going through. I don't want to repeat it. I love what Miss Barbara asked me. She said, how are you feeling? She said, I know you're feeling better. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to explain to you what Satan has thrown at me. Let's exchange iron, his word. And that guy, when he finally stopped weeping, and he helped me a lot, he really did. He really helped me a lot. I said, what do you do? What do you do in a situation like that? I know he was crying out for help from me, but I just asked him, I said, well, what do you do in that situation? He said, all I can do is give him praise. Which I knew the answer, but I quite didn't know it. He said, all I can do, he said, Psalms 34, he told me, is powerful to me. He said, it's alive in me. So what do you think I did? I began to read Psalms 34, which says, and I bring my Bible with me, forgive me. I think my wife took it to Miami. But I got it here. Trust me, it's there. I got it all memorized. So I will bless the Lord. Listen to this now. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord. Me, I, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's all you've ever heard quoted in the church. They'll quote that and they'll stop. But let me tell you something, my friend. Praise does not start in the mouth. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. How did his soul make its boast in the Lord? By what? By praise. He said, who he is inside of me, his word inside of me, I'll confess even when my body's being eaten up by cancer. Even when I got a child trying his very best to go to hell. He said, I will praise you, Lord. Even when I'm broke, I ain't got a penny. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. I'm going to brag about you, Father. I don't care how broke I am. I don't care what bad financial decisions I've made. I don't care if my husband left me. I don't care if my wife left me. I don't care if I got fired. I'm going to testify out of my soul, through my mouth, how great and powerful. Even if I don't feel like it, Lord, I don't have to feel like it to confess your truth. I don't have to feel like it. I could be dying in my bed, offering up God according to your word. You healed all infirmity. You could be struggling with sin. You still have the right to his word that says, I have overcome. I'm super victorious in you, Father. I don't care if you got something you do all the time. His word said, according to you, the sin has no power over it. I don't care if you smoke dope. Hit the joint. Take the drag. Confess it. Lord, sin has no power over me. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in you. I'm not saying smoke a joint and then confess it and you're okay. No. Let me back up a little bit. Really, that was made for a trial. Psalms 34. But we're lazy. I said, so what do you do, man? He said, oh, I just brag about God. And later on, I found out during that conversation, Kathy, that he had a tumor. He had a tumor. So literally, sir, what you're telling me is you feel you are sick, literally, is what you're telling me. They didn't want to tell me he had a tumor in his brain. And I said, what do you do again? He said, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands before heaven, on medication, in pain. But I lift up my hands, he said, to the heavens. And I say, Father, according to your word, which is holy and undefiled, settled, concrete, pure than the purest of gold, refined, pure than the purest gold, according to your word that stands alone, that second to none, I confess your word over my situation, Lord. And I refuse to say contrary to what your word says about my circumstance. That's the kind of dogmatic mentality that the body of Christ needs. Christians spend more time putting on Facebook how sick they are than how healed they are according to his word. We put more, oh, I feel so sick today. Shut up. Well, you slap me too. Can I say sometimes too, I got a bad habit. I got a bad habit of saying, oh, I can't see out of my right side. I got to catch myself. It's according to his word. According to his word, the standard that we live by. See, there is no blind eyes in heaven. And as a citizen of heaven, I got access to all that heaven is. Well, what if you die, Homer, confessing his word? Well, I died valiantly then. I died valiantly. I died swinging at Goliath, my friends. I took a shot at him. I didn't stand there like a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled man living in retreat. I took a shot at Goliath. I ran at him. 20,000 men hid in the woods. 20,000 men saw a giant. David didn't see a giant. He saw a defeated foe. They shook. The giant came 40 times, twice a day, 80 times in 40 days. He came saying, come on, send me a man that can fight with me. If you win, I'll be your servant. David saw him. They saw a giant. He saw a defeated foe. He said, you uncircumcised dog, he said. Who are you to defile the armies of my God? Who are you? He's the same one that said, my soul shall make its boast in you. Jesus, on Calvary, that's why it's so vital to put God's word in you. I know we talk a lot about tongues here, and rightly so. That's what I do the majority of the day. But nothing supersedes God's word, because in God's word, it teaches you about tongues. Well, that's just my stand on it. That's my good Baptist people make it in life, living a good life of love without tongues. But they got the word. See, we got both though. We got tongues and the word. Smith Wigglesworth said a lot of crazy things, but he walked in a heck of a lot more power than I do, being ignorant of the word in many things that he said. Are you disannulling tongues? Heck no. But the word will carry you through situations. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continue to be in my mouth. He said, my soul shall make its boast in you. Why did he say my soul shall make its boast in you? Because in his soul lied what? The word. It's got to dwell in you to come out of your mouth. That's when trial comes or tribulation, believers won't make it because they lack the word of God richly, according to Colossians, inside of their being. He said, I got a tumor in my head next to my brain. And he was in pain as we talked. I said, what do you do? Oh, I just lift up my hands. And he sort of got on to me, and I wasn't trying to confess that he had a tumor. I was just trying to make sure I understood him correctly. No, I told you. According to his word. And I cried like a baby. Talked for about 45 minutes. He began to talk about his daughter a little bit. I got a daughter, he said. Is being rebellion. And what he said, but I know how to stand on the porch and to look and see when she's coming home. He said, I'm not just standing on the porch waiting to see when she'll come home. I'm confessing out of my mouth how great my Father is. He said, you got to see. He said, you got to see your daughter coming home. You got to put up her name before God's throne. You got to say things like, Father, I thank you that your angels surround my daughter, pushing back every single force of darkness. I thank you that angels are assigned all around my daughter. She will not leave this earth premature. I thank you that the love of God draws her nigh. I thank you that the power of the Holy Spirit convicts her wherever she goes, Lord. I can see her coming home. He was quite a remarkable individual. He had an answer for everything in Christ. No opinion. No logic. Just pure, holy, undefiled word. Psalms 18 says there but one thing that's pure in this world, and that's God's word. Sometimes in life you got to take God's word in you and speak to that circumstance. Speak to that circumstance. And what else when you speak to it? According to last week's teaching, and doubt not in your heart. we concluded through the Gospels that the doubt in our heart, he said, if you speak to that mountain, believe that what you say will come to pass. And if you doubt not in your heart, what do you mean doubt not in my heart when I speak to the mountain? The doubt in that portion of Scripture was the same place that you ask God to remove that mountain in your life, to remove that cancer in your life, to remove that leukemia, to remove that jealousy or hatred, to remove that diabetes, to remove that blind eye. He said, when you speak to that situation, he said, believe that what you speak will come to say. And if you believe and doubt not in your heart, and doubt not in your heart. Harry, you're the best, man. We concluded that through meditation, through reading the Gospels, that the doubt in our heart when we speak to a mountain, that word doubt is the word judge. The doubt that he asked me and you to not have in our hearts when we petition him in prayer for something was to not have a heart full of unforgiveness. Well, Pastor Homer, well, you said you're struggling with your right eye. You said that in heaven there are no blind eyes. And are you doubting in your heart? Yeah, I'm doubting. Because if there wasn't doubt in my heart, right here on earth, I'd have 20/20 eyesight. But there's unforgiveness in my heart. There's doubt in my heart. You see, the same place that I ask him, which is my spirit, I say, God, I thank you for giving me perfect eyesight. It's the same place where he asked me to forgive my brother. Same spirit. And if I can't believe him when he asked me to forgive you, then I'm sure not going to believe when I ask him to heal me that he can do it. I only got one spirit. I only got one spirit. What do you do? I work on that doubt. Those people that I seem to sometimes to have them get on my nerves, I put their name up before God's throne till I grow up and let it go. And make no mistake, there is unforgiveness in the body of Christ. I told you the list of 9 that I wrote of who I had aught with. How do you know when you got aught with them? Well, sort of when you see them coming, you sort of go the other way. Now, granted, I do got to work on my social skills with people. I got to work on that. God's been dealing with me a lot on the area of unforgiveness. We're going to speak to mountains. If we're going to ask God to take these things from us, there cannot be doubt in our heart. There cannot be unforgiveness in our heart. Because forgiveness is the very essence by which me and you were saved. And I've heard people before, well, I asked them to forgive me. No, you went through the motions, man. There's a big difference. Well, I said, forgive me. Oh, why'd you waste your breath, man? Why'd you waste your breath? Make it right. Make it right. Let's make it right together. Let's make it right together. Because as disciples of God, which we are, he said, if you offend a little one, if you cause him to sin, by what manner? By you as a disciple. By not going to him cleanly and from your heart. He said, it's better for you that you not even be born. See, Christ Jesus came for that little one that we offended. But our pride and our manhood keeps us from acknowledging the truth. He said, if you're that disciple that represents me and you cause not a little one in stature, but a new convert in Christ, if you cause someone to fall because of your sin, it'd be better for you that you not be born, but that a millstone be tied around your neck and you jump off in the middle of a pond, then you cause one that Christ died for to fall. You better make it right. Get the doubt out of your heart. Homer, you talking to yourself? Yes, I am. And I've made the phone calls that I've had to make. Now I just got to keep putting them up before God's throne room. When I feel ought, or when I feel that feeling coming up again, what do? I begin to praise God. And I begin to call down blessings over my brother and my sister. That is the kingdom of God. We got to do what we got to do to reconcile. Whatever it takes. When Simon Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother? 7 times? He said, no, but 70 times 7. 490 times a day. Well, then if that's the case, if I know Alex is mad at me and he asks Alex, if Homer sins against you, forgive him not 70 times, but 490 times a day. In other words, the forgiveness is everlasting. Well, then you know what? If I know that Alex is mad at me, and he's supposed to forgive me 490 times, and what can I also do 490 times a day to bring him back to the place of repentance? What must I do? If he's to forgive me 490 times a day or more, what should I do? Throughout a period of eight, do what I got to do to make sure that me and him see eyeball to eyeball. Even if you got to say it 1,000,000 times over, you better reconcile. Because woe be unto you if your manhood or if your womanhood keeps you thinking you did nothing wrong. Alex, I love you. I was wrong. I know I hurt you, Alex. But I'll come to you once again, Alex. By the authority of heaven and by the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive me, Alex. Get away from me, Homer. Okay. Next time I see Alex, I feel God's peace on me. So sorry, Alex. Homer, I hate you. Rightly so, Alex. But I come to you again and I extend the blood of Jesus Christ to you. Whether he admits it or not, I sowed a seed in his heart. And eventually, he'll come around because I walk by the authority of heaven. So I do strongly believe in giving God glory through every situation. But part two to that is, to not doubt when I confess God's word. And we establish that the doubt is to have unforgiveness in my heart. That word doubt is a word judge. And my friends, and if I have unforgiveness in my heart towards you, then essence, what am I doing? If the word doubt is a word judge in the Greek, and if I have unforgiveness towards you, then what am I doing? I'm judging you. And not only am I judging you, but I'm judging God's word that told me to forgive you. I'm saying, God, I don't care if your word told me to forgive. I choose to exalt my thought over your word. I could care less what you said, Jesus. I'm going to hold on to it because I deserve to hold on to it. Go ahead. Live in a spiritual prison. Live in prison. The hardest thing, I'm going to mention this again. I mentioned it about 4 or 5 times, and I'll be done in a little bit. The hardest thing that I ever had to overcome was about 8 or 9 years ago when a man tried to take my wife from me. Put his hands on my wife. But she told me about it. I feel real uncomfortable around this person. But what happened? And she told me. And like any husband, I went to that man. I didn't go to talk. I really didn't. But at the last minute, I took a deep breath. I said, Lord, I know how I got to handle this. I said, man, I got to talk to you, man. And he knew already. He told me I got careless. I said, I'd say you got careless. But he looked at me eyeball to eyeball. He said, I was careless. He said, I beg that you forgive me. It's not the answer I wanted. I wanted to fight. At that very moment, when that man asked me to forgive him, he was clean of his sin. But for 2 years, I held on to that. So this is the end to the story. A man tried to get with my wife. I confronted him. He knew what was coming. And he couldn't even look at me. He said, I got careless. Forgive me for what I did. At that very moment, in the eyes of Jesus Christ, that man was clean. And I, at that moment, was dirty. Why? Because I chose for 2 years to hold on to what he tried to do. And the moment in time and day that I chose to forgive him, it's like 1,000,000 pounds were lifted off of me. Why? Because I fulfilled God's word in his kingdom. I was already thinking at the time, okay, as soon as he says something, I'm just going to... I got to get close because I got short arms. But he sincerely acknowledged his fault. And that is a true story, my friends. I'm not adding that. It's a true story. Nonetheless, Jesus told me to build my house on the rock, which are his sayings. There's two houses that were built. One was built on hypocrisy, and one was built on the word. And you know, the other people that I have ought with a little bit in my heart, what they did was very minute. I promise you this, as soon as I let that unforgiveness go, I guarantee you, according to his word, I'll receive what his word says about my eyeball the moment I let it go. So be careful. Be careful. If you can't stand somebody, because that person that you can't stand is the same individual that a Jewish man by the name of Jesus Christ shed his blood for. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The one that you're despising is the one that Jesus Christ came to give life everlasting. Do whatever it takes. Me and you corporately together. To reconcile. With those. That we've offended. Or that offended us. He said in 18, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Regarding me offending my brother, you better do what you got to do to make sure he isn't walking in offense. Do what you got to do, Homer. If not, you're not qualified to be my disciple. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise, glory, and honor. And we glorify you through every circumstance, Father. Your word that abides in our soul, we confess daily, Father, over trials and tribulations. But at the same time, Father, you told me to not have doubt in my heart, Father, when I spoke to the mountain.